I do want to invite you to pray with me. Not that we haven't prayed together already, but as we prepare to open the Word, I feel a special need to have God guide us as we study together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have reached down to us, that you walked on this planet as a man who is fully divine. Jesus came to this earth, and we have a record of his life, but it's not just the Bible that speaks to us about a God who cares about us. You are present with us right now through your Spirit. And Father, it's in that confidence right now that we come to you. We just ask you to guide us as we study together. We pray that you'd open our minds to your Word, that you'd guide my mind. You know exactly what needs to be dwelt on this morning and what we don't need to discuss. So please help us to that end. Thank you for your faithfulness in the past. We look forward to it again today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is one of the more, what can I say, one of the more stressful stories that we read about in the Bible. And we often don't catch the drama of the story because we know it. We know it, and we're so familiar with the story. But it's a story that brings us into connection with this topic of stress and just how devastating stress can be. It's a dramatic example of fear. And it comes to us from the life of Jesus there on the Sea of Galilee. You know this story well. We read about it in Mark chapter 4, beginning with the 35th verse. It says, "The same day when even was come, that he, Jesus, said unto them, Let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Jesus even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships." So you've got the picture here. Jesus and these disciples, many of whom who had grown up on the Sea of Galilee. A number of them were fishermen. They were well familiar with what is not all that large a body of water, but it doesn't matter how large the body of water is. You get far enough away from the shore and water that's above your head and a storm arises. And there can be an element of fear that's injected. Now, some of you might say it wouldn't take a storm to get me afraid if I was out in the water. Some of you are deathly afraid of water. And by the way, if you are, and this is just an aside, we have never lost anyone in the baptistry. No, I'm serious, really. There have been people that I've met over the years who were, and some of these are, you know, they're strong, brave people, but they just had a bad experience with water at a young age. And it's just a good aside to mention, as we're speaking about services in the church, I'm looking forward to using the baptistry. And if one of the things that's been holding you back from baptism, from following Jesus' example, is fear of water, we will help you with that. No, really, we've never lost anyone. Well, this is a different situation. This is not a baptistry. Jesus is on a body of water. His disciples are there, the 12 of them, and it says, as we read the account, that the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Do you understand the significance of this? The ship is about to go under, and somehow Jesus is still sleeping in the ship. Now, I don't know what the disciples had thought about to this point, but finally, when their lives are basically at a close, or so it seems, they wake Jesus up. And they say, "Master, don't you care that we're going to die?" It's a great place to stop. Because a lot of people, as they look at the world around them, they say, "Is God unmindful of what we're dealing with?" And you may feel that way yourself. Because you're dealing with health issues, or you're dealing with financial challenges, or you are dealing with challenges in your family. And you say, "Lord, don't you care that we're going to die?" But Jesus was mindful, and he was right there with them, I'll remind you. It says that Jesus gets up and he speaks. He rebukes the wind and he says to the sea, "Be still." And amazingly, Now, I say amazingly, you know the story. It's not so amazing to you because you've heard it so many times. But if you were on a sea and your ship was about to go under and you're about to die, and you finally call out to the one who'd been with you all along, and he stands up and he says, "Peace, be still," and all of a sudden, the sea is like glass, what would you say? Here's the challenge. We're all dealing with stressors that we have not dealt with in the past. I'd never have been in any place in the world where they said, "We're just shutting down all the churches. You can't go to church." I've not been there. Now, I'm not saying this hasn't happened in other places for other reasons, but I'm telling you, I haven't experienced it. And so we're dealing with stressors in the faith community. But how do we respond? And I'm suggesting to you that what we've been talking about, this sanctuary mnemonic, this sanctuary construct, is actually powerful when it comes to understanding how to deal with stressors. Now, I love the Lord's way of working with us, because He doesn't just want us to have theory, He wants us to have practical experience in trusting Him. And also, I believe, in trusting our brothers and sisters in the church. Now you say, wait a minute. The Bible says, you know, put not your trust in princes, neither in the Son of Man. You know, this is not where we're to trust in other people. No, I'm not speaking about... The only one we can ultimately trust in is Jesus, but He works through His body of believers as well. And so right now the Lord is helping me to realize that I am dependent not only on Him, but on my brothers and sisters, because every time I hit this advance button on my clicker, the slide does not change. Okay? So I'm recognizing, whether it's a battery, whether I've done something unusual in handling this, whether we left it on all week, and that was bad for this device, I do know that even though I want to show you the next slide, I am incapable of doing it on my own. Okay? So, having said that, my friends upstairs in the AV booth may just advance some of the slides for us. And if they don't, they're looking out for me in other ways. Oh, I'll tell you. You see, a powerful illustration of teamwork. I appreciate that. Well, this is just a brief aside here. It's true. As I've looked at that story of Jesus in the boat, I've wondered if part of the reason why Jesus was not fearing is because He knew His time had not yet come. If you haven't been watching the meetings, John Bradshaw's Hope Awakens meetings, you've been missing out. And last night, he introduced us to some Bible time prophecies. And some of them that he alluded to were in Daniel chapter 9. We haven't really fully fathomed that. But basically, we've been looking at this, and Jesus, I believe, understood these prophecies. And so here's where this comes back full circle. In addition to mentioning these meetings that are taking place Friday and Saturday nights, then Tuesday and Wednesday nights, four times a week, going through great themes of the Bible. Again, if you haven't been taking advantage of those, simply go to hopeawakens.com. But it reminds us of what we're talking about, and that is that our stress response has a lot to do with where our focus is. Jesus' focus was on His Father. His focus was on God's Word. He could trust in God. How about us? As we look at circumstances around us, do we realize we have a trustworthy Heavenly Father? That's what the sanctuary system in its heart is all about. That God is present with us, that He's provided a remedy for our sin, He's provided a remedy to heal us. So, are you afraid of COVID-19? Or are you afraid of the economic turmoil it's caused? Or are you afraid of what's happened in the church? Are you afraid that we'll never be able to have times we can come together again? I'd like to suggest to you, don't dwell on the fear. I appreciate it, as I said, the dialogue earlier today during Sabbath school, where people are talking about, well, you know, how can we move forward from here? Could we have a communion service virtually? And we need to have these discussions if things persist. But right now, here's the interesting thing. If you are overcome by fear, you will undermine your immune system. So our immune system is harmed by fear. But concern is appropriate. And taking that concern to Jesus is where we want to go. So let's come back to our mnemonic, our acronym, our memory device. Hopefully in your minds is the importance of the sanctuary. We've been talking about it over the last couple of Sabbaths. And in this final session, we're going to especially focus on these other elements that we find in the sanctuary mnemonic. I wanted to spend a little bit more time with stress. We just did that because it's so important. And you'll see that we come back to the theme of stress when we deal with a number of these issues. And we'll talk on them because the stress hormone system in your body is activated by multiple things. We talked about activity last Sabbath and how physical exercise, regular physical exercise, we could say daily physical exercise or near daily exercise is enhancing to the immune system. We found in the research it decreases your risk of infectious diseases, especially things like colds and flus. And presumably, although we don't have research looking at this yet, presumably COVID-19 as well. We talked about nutrition and how the optimal nutritional approach to improving your immune system includes a diet that is abundant, that is rich in fruits, grains, vegetables, nuts, seeds. These are the powerhouses when it comes to your immune system. But now we want to move on to talking about a comprehensive environment. And I want to remind you, I was not overwhelmed from requests from this church for our free ebook, Evading Ebola. This is about an 80-page book that I wrote, some 6 years ago when everyone was concerned about Ebola, and rightly so. Now the infectious disease concern has changed to COVID-19, but a lot of the principles are the same. So whether you're sitting here in the congregation or whether you're viewing, jot down my email address, Dr. DeRose, D-R, and then my last name, DeRose, D-E-R-O-S-E, at compasshealth.net. So Compass giving you direction, we're directing you to what? To health. compasshealth.net. If you just send me an email, say you want the free ebook, we'll send you your copy of Evading Ebola. And why I'm telling you this is a lot of the research we're talking about today is in the book. And so if you feel that things go by too quickly, or I say, well, we're not going to talk much about this today, you can pick up the free copy of the ebook, and we'll happy to send that to you. Well, let's talk about comprehensive environment. You know, we've been talking a lot about environmental issues in our country, and a lot of it has to do with hygiene. Many people don't realize why we talk about hygiene in infectious disease circles. A lot of people think, well, if you wash your hands, you have no germs on them. Well, really, you do still have germs on your hands after you've washed them. They're not sterile, okay? And you say, well, what's the point of doing it then? It centers on a concept called infective dose. Infective dose. This is a slide, and I'm walking you through it because I know some people listen to the audio recordings of these presentations. They don't see the slides, so we'll just kind of walk everyone through it. This is looking at some common infectious agents. The first two on there, Campylobacter and Salmonella, these are two common food-borne pathogens. Now you say, I've never heard of them, or I'm sure I've never been infected with them. Odds are all of you, unless you're very young and very fortunate, have been infected with these germs. Every year in America alone, the estimate is some 4 million people end up with food poisoning from either Salmonella or Campylobacter, either one of those two organisms, and there's a whole host of other things that can cause food poisoning. But here's what I want you to notice. With Campylobacter, you've got to consume as many as 10,000 bacteria in order to get sick. Now, some of you see there's a range there, 500 to 10,000. You say, why such a big range? It's because some of us have better immune defenses than other people. Let me give you an example. When it comes to things that you can catch by ingesting, the amount of acid in your stomach is a determinant of how good your immune system is. So if you're taking acid-blocking medications, maybe you have gastritis, maybe you have ulcers, maybe you have GERD, reflux, esophagitis, heartburn problems. If you've got those things, you may be taking an acid-blocking drug, and that actually lowers your resistance to infection if you ingest it. Now, COVID-19 does not seem, at least from what we've seen, to be transmitted by ingestion. But the point is simply, I'm trying to help you understand this concept of infective dose. You can get 400 Campylobacter germs in your food. Could be on your hands, and you eat it, you will not get sick because you have not eaten enough bacteria for them to overwhelm your natural defenses. Now, you can see here for some organisms, it's much worse. With Ebola Zaire, that was the Ebola virus that caused the last serious pandemic in 2014, 2015, and that time, it was as little as 1 to 10 viruses. And with the SARS-CoV-2, that's the virus that's causing COVID-19, it's felt to be low, but likely still significantly greater than Ebola. The point is, if we're practicing hygiene, if we decrease our exposure, that can save us from getting illness. And this is an application of hygiene. It's very interesting. If you look at the Bible, much of what God instructed his people on when it had to do with safeguarding them from illness during the wilderness wanderings had to do with hygiene. Have you ever thought about it? There was scrupulous cleanliness. There were ceremonies associated with contact with death. They were not to touch certain animals. They were definitely not to eat them. We call them the clean and unclean animals. The clean they could touch and interact with, and the unclean they were to have nothing to do with. Very interesting stuff. Well, of course, you've heard a lot about hand washing, saving lives. I don't want to spend too much time with this. There's a lot of good resources out on it. You've been hearing a lot about the 20-second rule. But it's surprising to me, as much as there's talk about hand washing, some of these other important concepts are not mentioned, like turning the water faucet off with your washed hands, how that is not a good idea. You wash your hands are dirty, you turn the faucets on, right? You wash, and then if you turn your faucets back off with your clean hands, now your hands are dirty again. You say, well, what do you do? Well, yes, you can have a paper towel and turn them off with it. You say, Dr. DeRose, it's hard to get paper towels today. What are we going to do? Well, there's ways that you could turn it off. I think someone was saying, you know, you can use a clean washcloth and turn it off that way. That works. Maybe I misheard you. But the point is, yes, try not to recontaminate your hands after washing them, and it's especially true in public venues, okay? The same with a public bathroom or even in your own home. If you don't keep the door handles clean, you can cross-contaminate yourself. Now, some of you say, well, this is all seemed very unnecessary, and when I'd give talks on these subjects up until recently, or when people were worried about Ebola, we could care less because most of us don't get sick. God's given us good immune systems, but we still want to do all we can to cooperate. Let me tell you about some other amazing things. Turn in your Bibles to the first chapter of Genesis. This is really fascinating to me. As we read the creation account, what we've been seeing is that God was physically present with his people in the beginning. So this concept of the sanctuary harkens back to the original creation, when God was physically present with his creatures. He put everything in their environment that they needed for health. What I want you to notice, as we come down to the fourth day of creation, and you read about it in verse 14. In verse 14. It says there, Genesis 1, verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Now, it's interesting. Many commentators have pointed out that God never mentions the most two notable heavenly bodies in the creation account. What are the two most notable heavenly bodies? That's right. He never mentions them by name, the sun and the moon. They are not mentioned by name. You say, but we just read about it. The greater light, what? The greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. But he never mentions them by name. Now, some people say, well, what's the significance of that? God is not trying to focus our worship on the things he's made. The things that he has made are anonymous. Even the things that throughout history, cultures have worshipped the sun and the moon. But we don't get any basis in Genesis 1. We don't get any, there's no honor given to the sun and the moon. They are not even named. It's quite interesting. But God nonetheless provided sunshine. And sunshine is a powerful element for our immune systems. And we have a section on, in the book, Evading Ebola, about sunshine. And here's what I wrote there. I said it would be fascinating and perhaps therapeutically revolutionary to check blood levels of 25-hydroxy vitamin D, the compound accurately reflecting body vitamin D stores in those suffering from Ebola. And here's why I wrote it, because in that book, we knew with Ebola what we know today about COVID-19, and that is many people were exposed to Ebola and never got sick. We checked their blood. They showed that they had actually had Ebola infection, never got sick, just like we're seeing today. Now, the difference is Ebola does not appear to be transmitted from asymptomatic people, whereas with COVID-19, one of the things that seems to be driving the pandemic is that people who look and feel perfectly healthy can give the disease to other people. And that's why all these healthy-looking people in this sanctuary, the 8 or 10 of us who are here, are all sitting at some distance from each other, because we don't know who might be feeling well and still have the disease. We do notice several sitting close together, but they all live in the same home, okay? They're family members. So we cut them slack. But so the whole point is this, though. As we were looking at Ebola, it's the same story that we're looking at today. What can help your immune system? One of the things that we know from the research is vitamin D. A lot of people have been talking about this. One of the more popular YouTube personalities is a physician, John Campbell. He's been speaking from early on in the COVID-19 story about practical things that people can do. And one of the things he's been talking about is vitamin D, how important it is. And you've heard other names too, and we'll talk about a few of them in a minute. But we're trying to get the immune system to work for us. And one of the ways the immune system works best is if we have adequate amounts of vitamin D. I want to just, before we talk more about sunshine, I just want to tell you about one other thing, because I don't want us to slip by this. Not only is sunshine powerful, but so is humidity. It's very interesting. Moisture in your mucus layer of your lungs help the lungs to function better. You have what we call the mucociliary blanket. That means there's mucus lining your large airways and little hairs lining those airways. The hairs are lining them. The mucus is in the airways. I knew some of you would translate that correctly, but for the sake of being precise, cilia line those larger air passageways, and there's mucus there. It makes like a sea of mucus, and those little hairs are like oars on a ship. They propel that mucus up toward your mouth. So if you inhale an infectious agent or a toxic agent or a noxious agent, many of them will get caught in that mucus if it's functioning properly. Those little hairs will propel the mucus up. You'll either cough that out, or more likely, if you're not coughing, you will just swallow it. It will go into the acid of your stomach and be destroyed. This mucociliary blanket, if you want it working healthfully, you need adequate moisture. And so some people, I remember a physician friend of mine some years ago, he was telling me about how many of his patients would have lots of illnesses during the winter months. He had them put a humidifier in their rooms, and this decreased their infections. Now, really interesting what we're learning about COVID-19 and other viruses is humidity often is bad for virus survival. Viruses, some of these viruses in this coronavirus family, do not survive well in heat and in humidity. So, take it for what it's worth. Humidity is another important, moisture in the air, another important element as we talk about environment. Now, I wanted to, I've been speaking about some of the great resources out there, and my wife and I have been enjoying some presentations that are being hosted by Adventist World Radio. If you've not heard about it, they've been doing a series of meetings that they've called Novel Lessons Learned from the 1918 Flu. That was that great influenza pandemic. Could they apply to the COVID-19 pandemic? And they've been looking at things that Seventh-day Adventists have done in sanitariums and natural healing centers over the years and how these things can help our immune systems. If you're a health professional, I know they're giving continuing medical education. I'm assuming CEUs as well for other health professionals. So you can tune on. These are archived as well. You just go to Adventist World Radio. You can search that. And there's another presentation tomorrow night. They've been bringing together many of the leaders in Seventh-day Adventist health ministry. We've heard from folks who lead out there at the General Conference and at the North American Division and many other speakers. Some of you say, well, I missed working with Dr. Leela Lewis. Dr. Lewis is the one who heads up the Pathways Project. Well, she's the one heading this up. So we didn't have Pathways in Indiana because of the COVID-19 pandemic, but Dr. Lewis and other health leaders in the Adventist Church have been hosting these meetings. And I wanted to give you a few high points that relate to environment. Some of you have heard me mention Dr. Schwelt. Dr. Schwelt, he spells his name S-E-H-E-U-L-T. I don't know how you pronounce that, Schwelt, but that's how it's pronounced. S-E-H-E-U-L-T. And Dr. Schwelt was looking at some of the latest evidence about vitamin D and avoiding infectious diseases, respiratory infectious diseases. This was a review of over 11,000 individuals, combined studies, and they found that vitamin D supplementation helped. And it helped you the most if you were vitamin D deficient. But even those who had better levels of vitamin D were helped, decreasing their risk of infectious respiratory illnesses by up to 70%. So you say, what does that mean practically? Practically, if you don't know your vitamin D level, well, the average physician, and Dr. Schwelt mentioned himself, have it checked. You say, but I don't have the money to get it checked, and beside my doctor's office is closed, and they're only doing telemedicine. Well, in my experience, it has been totally safe to take 5,000 international units a day for even a significant period of time. That's enough if your level's quite low to get it up in a reasonable amount of time. And from all the research and personal experience I've had working with patients, this seems, although it may be a little bit higher than some people need, most people in the winter months seem to need 2,000 to 5,000 international units a day. If you're not taking vitamin D, it's one of the simple things you can do to improve your immune functioning. Dr. Schwelt also shared research that he found from an amazing source, the Department of Homeland Security. How many of you knew that they were doing stuff? They get very concerned about pandemics, and they've been looking at the power of sunshine. And you may not be able to read the fine print, but basically what they're finding is that sunshine rapidly kills COVID-19. The SARS-CoV-2 virus that causes COVID-19 rapidly killed within a matter of 2 or 3 minutes. So sunshine is very powerful. Humidity also helps to kill this virus. So as we're approaching the summer months, there's getting more and more encouragement that this is really going to make a difference with this virus, and that we're going to see less transmission. And this discussion about easing restrictions is actually founded on some understanding of these environmental health principles. Well, Dr. Nedley was also on last week's episode. And by the way, I didn't know this was coming up. Some of you said, well, why did you only go through the first three elements? And why did you not cover a comprehensive environment last week? Well, they went through a lot of good material. If you want more, you can watch it. It was a couple hours of programming. But Dr. Nedley shared how, as we speak about the brain and stress and anxiety, one of the things that can help you in that dimension is, guess what? Vitamin D. Okay. They also presented research in that last Adventist World Radio series on the benefits of getting outdoors in nature. So, of course, if you're quarantined or isolated, we're not telling you to break the public health code. Or if you're in a part of the country and you're listening in where you're not allowed to go in your backyard, that's still my understanding. If you've got a beachfront home in Florida, your backyard's the beach. In some places, they had been telling people they couldn't go out in their backyard. At least that's how it was construed by the landowners in that area. My point is, I'm not telling you to break the law, but I'm saying get outside, and amazing stuff. You know, some of you who've read our health council, written years ago, you'll read statements about the healing virtue in the pine tree and in the fir. You look it up. Study it. What Dr. Schwelch shared is research showing how these essences of the evergreen family actually have been documented to improve the immune system. And negative ions that are made in outdoor environments also have immune benefits. They also help your cilia, those little hairs in your lungs, to work better. So the message is, get outside in the fresh air that the Lord made for us, okay? Well, we want to talk about a couple of these other things in short order. We've talked some about Thanksgiving, and I want to invite you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, one of my favorite passages on the power of Thanksgiving. And there is a lot of research that looks at this. We won't be able to dive into that in this series because we are finishing the series today, if any of you were worried that this might drag on for months or years. I know I haven't heard anyone was worried. But Philippians chapter 4. So Paul, as he's writing the letter to the church of Philippi, he is in prison. And he's not in a good situation as far as the way the world would reckon good situations. And as Paul is writing, he gets to chapter 4 and verse 6. And he says this, "Be careful for nothing." Modern translations say, "Don't be anxious about anything. Don't be worried about anything." And, you know, it's one thing to say what not to do. We know in medical circles, when it comes to health behavior change, it is a weak decision to say what you're not going to do. Like if I tell someone, whatever you do, don't smoke. That is not as helpful as telling them what to do. Okay? When you're under stress, don't smoke. Don't overeat. Well, what should I do? Well, fortunately, Paul doesn't say, just don't worry. He says what to do. In verse 6, he says, in everything by prayer and supplication. And what's the next phrase? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so, when you're tempted to be anxious, that's the context. He's saying, don't worry about anything. What should you do? You should come to God in prayer with thanksgiving. That's usually the last thing you want to do if you're worried, right? So if you're worried about the current situation we're in, this thankfulness is actually a remedy for stress, and in and of itself, thankfulness and positive thoughts improve your immune system. So when you're tempted to be worried, thank the Lord for things that you can be thankful for. Even if you're struggling, thank the Lord that you can worry. You know, there's people in comas right now. They cannot worry. Aren't you glad you're not in a coma? Okay? Well, it's interesting. Although there are promises of God answering prayer in the Bible, and I'm thankful for those, and I'm thankful that God does answer prayer, here Paul gives no assurance of answered prayer. But he does give you this assurance. If you pray with thanksgiving, when you're tempted to be worried, look what happens. Verse 7, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Exciting stuff, huh? Abstemiousness. What kind of things do you want to avoid? Abstemiousness comes from the word to abstain. And there are certain things we definitely want to avoid if we want to keep our immune systems most healthful. Did you know that one of the main things that caffeine does is ramp up your stress hormones? So caffeinated beverages, in addition to waking you up, they stimulate you, but that stimulation is not desirable for your immune system. It ramps up the very stress hormones that actually tend to undermine overall immunity. So caffeine is not something you want to be using if you're concerned about your health. Now, some of you were concerned last week. We were talking about blood pressure and blood pressure medications. And just since my presentation last week, this actually came out the day before I preached, but I didn't realize it till a few days later, in the journal Circulation Research. This is a preprint, a e-print before the actual journal has come out. And these are researchers looking at data from China, on individuals using these two classes of drugs that I talked with you about last week. And I wanted to share it with you because it gives some balance to the dialogue. A very interesting story and ties in with abstemiousness, and you'll see how. So what I tried to explain to you last week is that there's two common classes of drugs, the Pril drugs and the Sartan drugs. We call them ACE inhibitors and angiotensin receptor blockers, that some of the research suggests may increase your risk of becoming infected and of having severe infection with COVID-19. And there's a number of reasons for it. I tried to touch on that. It has to do with some enzyme levels that change in your body. So some people may jump to the conclusion that if they're on these medicines and they start having a sore throat, they better flush them down the toilet. That is exactly the wrong thing to do. This is very interesting because these same drugs that the research is suggesting might increase your risk for COVID-19 infection, if you develop COVID-19 infection, taking these drugs may actually help the infection be less severe. Now you might say, well, how could that be? Well, I don't have time to go through all the mechanisms, but it has to do with how these enzyme levels can change with these various medications. And so this is what they've seen in the animal research. You give animals these drugs, and it increases their risk of getting infected with the SARS coronavirus family, especially studied with the previous coronavirus that caused the original SARS. And yet, if they kept the animals or put the animals on this when they had the disease, it could prevent more severe lung problems. So they looked at this in this study, and what they found, if you looked at people in the hospital with high blood pressure, if they were on these medications that might increase their risk of getting COVID-19, they actually seemed to decrease the risk of having severe lung problems. So here's why I'm telling you about this. Don't wait to try to work with your doctor to adjust your medications when you're having a cough and feeling bad. This is not the time to get rid of your medication. Stay on your medications unless you're instructed to do so, but work with your doctors, is my recommendation, to get on a healthier lifestyle that helps your immune system and helps decrease your dependence on medications. So, here's the messages. If you suspect you have COVID-19, don't stop your blood pressure medicines. By the way, you shouldn't stop those even if you don't think you have it. Work with your providing physician or other healthcare provider. And there still is, though, a reasonable question as to whether these medications might increase your susceptibility to infection, and that's why we're encouraging a healthy lifestyle. Now, you say, what does all this have to do with abstemiousness? It has to do with abstemiousness because I don't want people to confuse treatment and prevention. And this is where a lot of people get confused. Could something be used for treatment that may not be the best thing to take for prevention? If what's true in animals is true in humans with COVID-19, it would be better never to take certain blood pressure medicines because it would decrease your risk of getting COVID-19. But that doesn't mean those same medications couldn't be useful in treating it. Now, I put up a slide here about something else that undermines your immune system, and it is alcoholic beverages. Wine is a mocker, said the wise man. Strong drink is raging, and whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Other translations say wine is a mocker, beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. So, very interesting. Do any of you know that there is a potentially life-saving therapy if you have a child or grandchild who gets into the windshield wiper fluid that has methanol? Methanol is a potentially lethal toxin. It's in the alcohol family. It's commonly used in many household products. And there you see the treatment for methanol poisoning. Do you see what it is? It's vodka. Now, I'm making it kind of graphic, but it is. It's ethanol. It's beverage alcohol can be used to treat methanol poisoning. So, can alcohol be used appropriately as a treatment for certain conditions? The answer is yes. Is it still a mocker? Yes. We don't recommend alcohol as a preventive. It undermines your immune system, okay? But just because the doctors might give you alcohol in the hospital if you have methanol poisoning, fascinating topic. You may want to read about it, but you've likely got methanol in your home. It might be in your perfumes, ladies. It might be in some cooking fuel if you like to camp. It might be in your windshield washer fluid. By the way, that's the leading source of toxic exposure in the U.S. It's also an industrial product. Some people have telling me, well, they can get alcohol even if it's not in the store. They'll just go to the auto shop. Just be careful, because you might be getting alcohol that has methanol in it. And even through your skin, it can be absorbed and you can get toxic. So it can absorb through the skin. Methanol poisoning, if you're interested in some shocking stuff, I didn't know about this, but there are multiple cases of blindness. Methanol can cause blindness and death in Australian and New Zealand tourists to Indonesia. One of the popular places the New Zealanders and Australians like to go is to Bali. And in Bali and in Indonesia and places there in the South Pacific, there is a lot of cutting of alcohol. They try to stretch the alcohol, even in legitimate-looking bottles, and it's got methanol. And the treatment for it is beverage alcohol. They say, well, this is a strange line of thinking. I haven't heard this in a sermon before, Dr. DeRose. You probably haven't. But here's my point. Here's my point. Satan is able to tell you good things about even the things that are harmful to you. Are you aware of that? And you might say, I heard about someone whose vision was saved because they drank alcohol. I'm going to drink alcohol every day just in case I accidentally get some methanol. This would be a very bad idea, and it's very bad for your immune system. Alcohol undermines your immune system. It will increase your risk of infectious diseases and dramatically increase your risk of cancer as well, even social drinking. Stay away from beverage alcohol. Well, we need to hasten on, and we need to talk about rest. And you say, Dr. DeRose, you skipped over useful work. Well, that's why I'm glad that Matt read from Acts 20. I love Acts 20. I love Paul's attitude as the Holy Spirit is speaking to him about bonds and affliction waiting him. And what did he say? Did you catch it? That he was going to focus on doing the Lord's work. You know, if you have, and they've studied this in the research, if you have a sense of purpose in life, it helps your immune system. It's not only spiritually strengthening. So I want to remind you, if you're feeling right now because you're out of work or you're retired and you can't get out and do your normal witnessing, invite people, if nothing else, to hopeawakens.com. What do you think about that? Would that be revolutionary? Yeah, I'm surprised. We've been inviting people, and some have been tuning in that I wasn't sure would have an interest. So hopeawakens.com. Now, what about rest? You've heard a lot about rest. Rest and sleep, very important for immunity. And remind me about these studies when we come back to meeting together in the sanctuary. If I see you sleeping, just say, Dr. DeRose, I wasn't sleeping because you're not a good preacher. I was so motivated by your talk on improving the immune system that I decided to put it into practice right here in the sanctuary, okay? But sleep, very important for the immune system. They've well studied this, including respiratory illnesses. Get adequate sleep, but don't get stressed out if you can't sleep. Get up and pray. Do something useful. Take a light walk around your room. Just don't trip over anything in the middle of the night. Well, the last thing we want to close on as we wind up this is yearning or expectancy. And I invite you to turn for our final scriptures to Hebrews chapter 11. We looked at this passage in a previous series, but it's a fitting way to close a series speaking about how God wants us to have healthy immune systems. By the way, if you really like this presentation, sure, you can get my free book, but there's a better book than mine on strengthening your immune system. It's called The Ministry of Healing. If you haven't read that in a while, powerful book, Bible principles, strengthening your health, strengthening your immune system. I heartily recommend it for you, and you can get that online free too if you know the right places to look. But I'm in Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm looking at the secret, one of the secrets that the patriarchs had as far as sustaining their faith. It's Hebrews 11, verse 13. It says, speaking of people like Noah and Abraham, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. God has a better land for us. And so although sometimes this human world really looks like it's just about to wax so old that it's going to fall apart any minute, we've got a better land. And so when you're tempted to look around and be discouraged, look up. Jesus said, your redemption is drawing near. Well, like any study, it seems we only touched the surface. And that was three presentations. Some of you say, no, it was more than the surface. But my point is, think again about the sanctuary. What it tells us about a God who wants to be close to you, a God who wants to give you confidence, and a God who in that sanctuary system, in the Bible, in what He originally provided in the beginning and what He's going to restore at the end, is not only for your spiritual welfare, but for your physical welfare as well. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, just like we were reminded in Hebrews 11, you have a better land, a better place for us. And Father, as we look at the challenges around us, as we feel the pain of our neighbors and the pain maybe in our own hearts, we realize that you are not a stranger to that pain you feel with us. So Father, please help us on this planet, but most of all, help us to be like Jesus in that opening illustration, where His focus was not on the storm around Him, but He was trusting in His Heavenly Father's care. Help us to have that experience. Help it not only help our immune systems, help it enliven our lives so that we can share a testimony to your grace. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries have been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.